Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Governor Bruce Rauner has stepped into the studio with us. And Governor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Governor.
It.
Yeah, no, it's great to be with you.
Stopping by on a beautiful Friday.
Yeah, it is gorgeous out there. And you guys got a great view of it, too.
Mm-hmm. I know. We like to say we're at the corner of Michigan Avenue in heaven right here.
And it totally
basically
is.
Basically what it is.
It's really good.
Now, let us talk about the stopgap budget. That is what everybody is talking about right now. This is an idea that it will temporarily fund as we move past now the second budget year. Yep. Deadline has passed without a budget.
Yep.
So let's describe what this is, and then we'll get into what the bigger problems are.
Yeah, so just a quick summary for your listeners. You know, we last year the General Assembly passed a budget that was $5 billion out of balance with no way to pay for it. It caused all kinds of trouble. I had to veto it because there's no way to pay for a lot of the services. And then this year, they didn't pass any budget at all. It's very hard to run a government without a budget. So we're doing the best we can. And the General Assembly also declined to vote on any of the reforms we've recommended to make things better. It's reforms to grow jobs in the economy, reforms to protect property taxpayers from higher taxes, reforms to on our pension system, reforms to our political system through term limits and redistricting reform. So no reforms, no budget. We're in a tough bind. So we've said, look, while we're trying to negotiate these things out, let's make sure our schools open on time. With the money they deserve, the full foundation funding level, which we mm-hmm. haven't been at in 7 years. I'm a big education advocate. And let's also make sure essential government services are funded. Human services, public safety, public health, essential government operations that the people of Illinois depend upon. And even though we don't currently have a budget, we've said, let's pass a temporary stopgap budget that gets us through next January at least. And that's when the General Assembly has said that they will be willing to vote on a truly balanced budget with reforms. So we've introduced two bills, one to fund schools at the full foundation level, more money that's been put in them ever in history. I'm a big advocate for more funding, as well as a bill that funds our essential government services to get us through January. And we're asking all your listeners around Illinois, contact their state senator, their state representative, especially if they're in the supermajority under Speaker Madigan. Come on home to Springfield, where I primarily live, and vote on these two bills, because our schools need to open and our essential government services need to be functioning.
Now, the editorial in the Tribune today, the board writes, you know, no, don't do that. Illinois lawmakers, do something here and make this, finish the negotiation. Is there the possibility of a negotiation continuing here, or is it because it's an election year, this all bets are off?
Yeah, so I'm an optimistic, hopeful guy. I mean, that's the reason I ran for governor, is to make a better life, a better future for the people of Illinois. We continue to hold negotiations with members in the General Assembly in both parties, and those discussions continue. But what's been made clear to us is the Speaker and the President, who run the supermajority, really aren't interested in agreeing on any compromises. And President Cullerton came right out to me and said, no votes on any reforms, no votes on a balanced budget until after the election. So we've kind of got to take him at his word, because they kind of call the shots for their caucus members. Mm-hmm. And we got to assume we're not going to get any reforms done or a balanced budget. We got to somehow get through this crisis. That's where we've introduced the two bills, fund our schools and get government operations going at least through January.
Governor, should we expect a tax increase? Is that what is inevitable when you look at this process and where we are fiscally in the state of Illinois?
Well, if you look at the numbers, we have a stunning level of debt. We have the largest unfunded pension liability in America, which mm-hmm. is basically debt accruing at 8% interest on our taxpayers. We have a huge, we have like $45 billion of bonded debt. We have the largest backlog of unpaid bills in America, and that is accruing interest at 12%. You know what? It puts a lot of pressure on our budget, and there's a lot of pressure to raise taxes. You could cut your way through it, but it really would be destructive to cut that much, mm-hmm. and it's not my first choice. But I've said, look, I'm willing to support a tax hike that Speaker Madigan advocated for last December. But I said, we can't tax our way out of these problems. There's no way we can put more tax burden on the people of Illinois without hurting the economy and hurting their ability, their cost of living. I've said, let's get reforms to protect taxpayers, dollars and grow more jobs, because the real answer long-term is more growth, more economic opportunity for the people of Illinois, higher wages, higher family incomes, more companies coming here. That's the real answer, and that's what our reforms are about.
So the tax increase, or the tax rate that people have been talking about here is, what, 4.8%, 4.7%, something like that. And if that were to occur, I mean, because you allowed for the sunset of the Quinn tax increase, right? And now we're back to where we were before, the 3%. So
it's actually so it was 3%. The Democrats raised it to 5%, mm-hmm. and then under their bill, their law, it rolled back down partially to 3.75%. That happened a year ago, January, and that's where it still is. It's at
3.75%. Right.
And I've said, look, we can run the government with that level of revenue. We're going to have to make some cuts, and I'm willing to do that. I've offered to do that. We can also negotiate about some new revenue, but we've got to get reforms. We can't only raise taxes on people without reforms. That would be a disaster.
Now, that's the sticking point here, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's the union issue of – it's the pension funds. It's what do you do now for the legacy of those who have already are in the system. Is there a way to do this? I guess here's the question. Is there a way to reform the pension system for public employees in Illinois that keeps existing benefits for those approaching retirement age or those who have an X amount of years of public service, and then changes the structure for people who are newer on the job or who would be coming onto the job? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the very clear answer is yes, it does. And President Cullerton and I, president of the Senate, leader of the Democratic caucus there in the Senate, he and I agree on the basic way to do that. That's fair and constitutional. You want to protect existing pension benefits. If people have paid in, they've earned, accrued a benefit, they should get it. The issue is going forward for future work. Can't we come up with more creative options that employees can choose among, give them different choices that are more affordable over time? And the president and I agree. In fact, we were going to do a press announcement together, a conference in the spring, announcing our agreement. And I was going to go with his pension plan. It doesn't go as far as mine, but at least it saves $1 billion a year, which is that could help fund our schools.
$1 billion here, $1 billion.
Yeah,
here,
exactly. Yeah. So, but he said he'd had to talk to the speaker about it before we announced it. So he did, and the speaker said no. And then we're back where we are.
You know what I would love to see? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've proposed this before, but now that you're sitting here, I get to propose it in front of you. I would love to have you and the Speaker or the Senate President, three of you, whatever it happens to be, you sit down and you negotiate this thing at the Chicago Theater. 16 cameras, everybody's mic'd, an audience.
Like a reality show for state government.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And then, you know, some people sitting there judging.
I think the process is already undignified enough. Yeah. There's been a lot of name calling. Well, and a lot of people are just frustrated. They're angry. You must hear it, Governor.
People
do not like what's happening in our state.
Right.
They don't like where we've been. They don't like where it feels like we're going.
Exactly.
We have people leaving the state.
Exactly.
And some are blaming you. Some are blaming Mike Madigan. And it just feels like, how do we get this done?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's amazing to me is in private, significant portion of the Democrats agree with the reforms that we want to make. We've got to grow the economy. We've got to protect our property taxpayers. Our property taxes are too high, and we need to get the government more efficient. And that's what we're advocating. The Democrats agree. Now, the political reforms, they don't necessarily like, because I want term limits on elected officials, mm-hmm. and I want fair maps so we can have competitive general elections. The supermajority doesn't like those two. But the others, they agree in private.
Is that true? Those are the only two that they would not agree with?
The others they agree with in private.
Pension obligations for new employees, workers' comp changes, are they on board with?
Yep, yep. Attorney General Madigan, who's not a Republican, has come out publicly and said we should have causation in our workers' comp system, which is exactly what I've been saying.
Well, and that has been such an issue for 10 years. Businesses who are planning a move to Illinois have dealt with that, and they've always gotten sold better goods in Texas or Florida or Indiana even.
Yep.
And I hate when Indiana's trying to eat our lunch. it's the worst.
No, it's the worst. They're the number one state where our jobs go, and they ain't going there for the weather. They're going there because the regulations and the taxes are more reasonable.
Not the architecture either.
No, definitely not there. Maybe it's the Ohio River. I don't know. It's very pretty.
I'll spend some time in Fort Wayne. It's nice.
That's a nice of you. That's very generous of you, Anna. All right, Governor Rauner's with us. We're going to come right back to Governor Rauner, but first, very quickly, Violetta Powder-Medic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are on the hunt for the best baseball bites. Tune into Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right. Governor Rauner is in the studio with us. Judy Pilak in the newsroom has a question for the governor.
Hi, Governor. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, I understand the Illinois Lottery kind of jumped into the fray today saying that unless actually backing your stopgap budget bill, saying that if that doesn't go through, once again, we're going to face a deadline of, you know, July 1st when people won't be getting paid again for their winning tickets,
yeah,
which
exactly.
I know last time was
which
a
would
big
be ter-
deal.
Yeah, it would be a terrible tragedy. No, many things. Our road maintenance and improvements can't happen. Or bridges won't be repaired. Essential human services won't get be able to function. Public safety won't get funded. We need a stopgap budget to get through the general election, which is when the Speaker and his supermajority have said they'll be willing to vote on a balanced budget. We need some way to get through and provide essential services. We also need our schools to open on time with a full foundation level funding, so all school districts get at least as much money, and some will get more money than last year. Those two things must happen. That's the reason we've introduced our two bills, full education funding and stopgap budget, to get us through this impasse. We've got to pass these bills, and we're asking the General Assembly come back to Springfield and vote to get these bills done.
But basically the Speaker and the President have to get them back.
No, that's right. The Speaker controls when they come back.
Right.
And so far he said no. I don't know, he's waiting. And I think my sense is what's going on. President Culleton was candid about this at a City Club speech a few weeks ago. He said he doesn't want the schools to open, no schools in the state to get funded unless the funding formula changes and Chicago Public Schools get a lot more money, like half a billion plus.
Where do you stand on that, though?
Well, that's not fair to the suburban taxpayers and the downstate taxpayers. Chicago Public Schools, I'm an advocate for the kids there. I've spent a lot of my last 25 years of my life trying to improve Chicago Public Schools. The kids deserve better schools. But that school district has been financially mismanaged for years. It's virtually on the edge of bankruptcy. And it's not fair to suburban taxpayers and downstate taxpayers to bail out the mismanagement of that system. That's not fair.
We've got a texter here who's asking, please ask the governor why we even elect representatives and senators if it feels like, and it is, two or three people make all the decisions in Springfield. Why do we even vote? And it does feel as if the will of the people gets ignored at times like this.
There's no question. There's been a concentration of power, and I don't want to get into too much bashing of the power structure there. The reason I'm pushing so hard for the two political reforms I am is it can change the culture and the system there. Term limits on elected officials after some reasonable period of time, 8 years, 10 years, you can pick a reasonable period. There's nobody has to stay in the office beyond that. They can run for some other office and still do public service. Same thing for fair maps. We need districts that aren't gerrymandered to protect incumbents. We should have competitive general elections. Both of those are important, and I'm pushing hard for those.
Let's talk about the tone here a little bit, though. Is this political theater, or has it become personal?
Certainly not personal for me at all. This is, you know, this is part of politics. I know it's rough and tumble. Emotions run high. But, I've always had decent working relationships with all the elected officials. I still have good working relationships with them in private. Unfortunately, election season is now coming. November is coming, and people are on both sides of the aisle, Republicans as well as Democrats,
right,
are posturing for the general election. That's just part of the process. I've encouraged everybody to realize that the political process, the electioneering and campaigning, that can happen. That's fine. But let's not let that interfere with us doing our jobs, taking votes, and making sure we get the government services continuing to function.
Still not going to Cleveland?
Not going to Cleveland.
Not going to go. We have to go to Cleveland. Do you feel sorry for us?
No, just have
watch
fun.
Out. Any yeah. advice for us at all?
Yeah. Any advice?
Duck.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Get
well,
ready to run for
you're
the exit.
You're a Republican, and I'm very sure that you are happy you are not running for re-election this year. That's all I can say about that. All right. Governor Rauner, thank you very much for
Thanks,
being with
Governor,
us.
Thanks,
great to be
by.
With you guys. Thank you very much.
All right. We've got Judy Pilak's news coming your way 2 minutes away.